So I will be following on discussing Central Asian labor migrants in Russia and the role of Islam in their life in Russia. So kind of general point first, there are about 5 million at least Central Asian working in Russia. That's the official Russian statistics. It may be more. It's mostly young people, even if you have older people, and it's mostly men, even if you have a growing number of women, and especially of family migration from Kyrgyzstan. The scholarly work that have been done on migrants mostly focus on remittances and the role these remittances play in Central Asia, on gender relation, family relation, and how migration are changing them, and on how migrants negotiate with Russian population, Russian laws, Russian security services, their everyday relationship. We have very few work that has been done on the religious practices of migrants and on the new kind of professional skills they are learning from migration. And that's something on which we have very few research going on. So in terms of migration in relationship to religion, there are several elements that need to be taken into account. The first one is that it's easier to practice religion in Russia than it is in many Central Asian countries because you have more mosques, they are less controlled, and you don't have the same level of political pressure on people attending mosques. Second, you have a very important change of identity for migrants because the migration creates a disruption of social and family norms. And of course, that directly impacts the way Islam is used as a tool to explain social and family norms. What it also means, migration, it means that the belonging to community is changing a lot because the majority of migrants have a low integration level in Russian society. Sometimes they work on marketplace, they don't go outside, or very rarely. They don't really know the city in which they are living. They live in a very closed world. They sometimes live in shared kind of container place, so it's very humiliating working and living condition. It means working at the community. It means changing a lot of your self-perception in terms of identity. So on all these issues, of course, Islam is kind of reinterpreted or maybe sometimes mobilized. And globally, the fact of being everywhere in the world, the fact of being a migrant changed a lot of things in terms of identity. And I just wanted to show you some picture that I found. That's this one. So just to give you an example of what they have to face. So that's a very insulting, for those who can read, Russian flyer about done by xenophobic far-right skinhead group in Russia explaining that migrants are in favor of Putin because Putin is protecting them. Then they have to face the fact that they are considered as Muslim in a Christian country, which was probably not the way they were perceiving Russia before leaving. Then they have more and more to learn to pass tests of on their knowledge of Russian language, and they have to learn kind of text about Russian constitution and so on. So more and more their ability to move to Russia will be linked to their way of being able to pass some tests. And then you also have a growing phenomenon, which is that you have more and more migrants who will stay in Russia and who consider Russia as being their second motherland, and it's also a homeland, and it also means that they will be more and more involved in the Russian public life and just considering that they want to be part of it. So all these identities are, of course, playing a big role on the way Islam is renegotiated. And so you have two ways of looking at that. One is looking what it means, what this labor migration means for Islam in Russia and what it means for the practice of Islam for the Central Asian themselves. So I myself working on the kind of the Russian side, and what is interesting to see is how Russian Islam, because of labor migration from Central Asia and Azerbaijan, is increasingly diverse. In the 90s, we have this phenomenon of re-ethnicization of Islam in Russia. Now we have a kind of contrary phenomenon, which is that the Islam in Russia is more and more a Russian-speaking Islam and more diverse ethnically Islam, because in a mosque, you now have a lot of ethnic groups. It's not only the traditional ethnic groups. Therefore, the imam needs to be able, for example, to speak in Russian and not only in Tatar or in Chechen, because he will be speaking to a large crowd of diverse population. It also means that territorially, Russian Islam is changing, because you now have a mosque everywhere in Russia, and not only in the traditional region with ethnic Muslim minorities. So several pictures, that's my fieldwork. So you have that the most northern mosque in the world, in Norilsk, above the Arctic Circle. You have traditional mosque in Arkhangelsk from the 19th century, but you also have a lot of public debates going on about mosque in Yakutsk. So just to give you an example on how Islam is becoming more and more diversified in Russia, and a lot of websites explaining, for example, this one on Islam in Siberia, explaining or trying to create a kind of trying to root Islam in an environment that was not necessarily oriented toward Islam. What is really creating a lot of tension is everything related to the creation of new mosques, and that's really an issue that is becoming more and more an element of tension between the migrant community, the local administration, and the local population, exactly on the same way we see in Western Europe. And one of the big element of crystallization is, of course, what is happening in Moscow, because Moscow is the biggest capital city in the world with a Muslim minority. It's depending how you make the calculation, it should be about 2 million of Muslim registered in Moscow and 2 million of unregistered people, for officially only 4 mosques. So, which means that during the big prior, that's what you have in the streets of Moscow. And as you can imagine, it's creating a lot of tension and it's accentuating xenophobia in Russia. So that's, of course, during the main Muslim celebration. So that's what I'm doing. The second element I wanted to present here is, in fact, research that has been done by one of our colleagues, Sophie Roche, who is based in Germany. She's an anthropologist, and she's working on the Tajik migrant in Russia, and she wasn't able to join us today, but she sent her text, and I wanted to present it because it's really related to my own research. But she's one of the only one really able to work in marketplace in Russia among the Tajik diaspora and looking at the place of Islam in migration. So she worked really on a different construction site, but mostly on marketplace, on bazaar in Moscow, which are the biggest one. And that's really interesting to see. So three of her main findings that I will be quickly presenting here. The first one is that really on marketplaces in bazaar, Islam is really mobilized as the major way of organizing life inside the bazaar. So the majority of migrants working on the bazaar are living in kind of containers. So they are sharing the place to overnight all together. It's a very so it's an environment dominated by male. It's very humiliating for them to, of course, live in such a difficult condition. And what seems to be really visible from her fieldwork is that it's religious practitioner who set the frame of behavior inside the market. And that's really through Islam that the migrants are explained how to behave morally in the on the site, how to manage body language, which is something very important given the condition they are living in. So that's religious people who are explaining what means to be a good Muslim in such difficult conditions. So which means that even the population, which is not necessarily practicing Islam, is considering that the knowledge about moral behavior is coming from those who are the good practitioner of Islam. A second conclusion was that these markets are really a place of ethnic diversity and religious plurality. You cannot identify one market where you will see, like, it's mostly Tajiks with mostly kind of Salafi proselytizing, and another one would be a Kyrgyz place with mostly Tablighi Jamaat. It's diverse ethnically and it's diverse religiously. So you have several proselytizing groups that are part of the market, and very often these proselytes people are also traders, so they are owners of these big containers, and they are the one organizing everyday life, what is called in Russian brigadir. So they are responsible for a group of people, and so traders are often the proselytes. And so she was able to look at how people from the Tablighi Jamaat, people presenting themselves as Salafi with all the ambiguities of the terminology, people presenting themselves as Sufi or few members of Hizb ut-Tahrir, how everybody was in fact participating in the everyday life at the bazaar with very kind of open space for discussion, a lot of public debates, but no one really being in control of one market. And the main debate she was able to notice between this proselytizing group and the everyday migrant was debate about the relationship between Islam and national identity, with the proselytizing people really trying to promote Islam as a kind of universal concept without having this kind of ethnic component, and the everyday young people understanding or interpreting Islam as something very much linked to their ethnic or national identity. So that was kind of the main debate, and I think that's something which is relevant knowing the current situation globally in Central Asia. The third element she noticed is that how Islam was integrated into a potential political narrative that is going on around the mosque. So the mosques are increasing, and very often very small mosques which are linked to the bazaar. It's not the big mosque, it's very small prior place that are related, linked to one bazaar or one construction site. So these small mosques are increasingly used and understood as place for social, educational and political activities. They have public debates after the Friday prior, mostly about migration, how to react to Russian law, how to interact with Russian policemen, but also a lot of debates about politics in the Islamic world globally. So a lot of debates about things going on in Turkey, in the Middle East. It's also a place where usually this proselytizing group or these influential religious leaders, and she really mentioned that the majority of big traders all perform the Hajj, so they are really considered as kind of legitimate religious personalities. They tend to invite famous personalities from their home country. So, for example, for the Tajik minority, it seems that clearly this religious leader who sometimes invite people like Mujahideen Kabiri or Nurijinov to come and to speak. So it's really the mosque and this religious leader that are seen as making the link between the migrant community and the personality staying at home. And she also noted that for all those who cannot attend the Friday meetings, and of course many of them cannot because they are working in kind of difficult condition where they cannot leave their work easily, everything is recording on mobile phone, and really the Friday evening, the people who couldn't attend are just watching online the debates that has been going on. So even if you don't go to the mosque, you are connected to the community and the debates that are going on. She also mentioned the mosque have been creating some kind of small educational center with discussion, really not looking at Islam, not putting Islam at the center of the debate, but saying that Islam is a framework for a common spirit. It's a moral cement for any political change to come. So the point is, so what she was noticing is that it's not people, these religious leaders are not pushing for kind of radicalization or politicization of Islam. They are just putting Islam as a kind of moral element that will legitimize the mobilization of people in favor of their own right in Russia, in favor of maintaining their right when they go back in their country, or just putting Islam in their global perception of their own identity. So to conclude, I think that what we are looking on the place of Islam in Central Asian migration in Russia is really something that will be key, which means that probably a lot of change going on in the public perception of Islam in Central Asia will be linked to the migration experience of all these migrants, and therefore it's through Russia, as it is through social media or through diaspora, that Islam is becoming part of the public debate in Central Asia. That's the first conclusion. The second one is that probably the multi-ethnicity of most Islamic places in Russia, the fact that you have both Russian citizens of Muslim confession and these migrants will probably create a kind of brand of Russian-speaking Islam that is relatively different from what was traditionally Islam in the region. And the third and main conclusion is that people are experiencing a plurality of religious arguments. They are able to put Islam as one element of their identity, and clearly the relationship to Russia and the fact that they have to negotiate their own identity as Muslim is something that is probably will become very kind of important element. And I think the Sophie's main conclusion is really that what is important is not that these migrants are practicing Islam, but just that suddenly Islam is part of both the moral behavior they should have as a good Muslim and part of the public debates that are going on among migrants. And that's something that probably when they will come back to their home country, that's something that they will try to import, and that will go directly against the traditional legitimacy of the regimes and the way they want to put Islam outside of the public debate picture. So I think what is going on in Russia now with migration is really one of the key elements we should look at if we want to understand the way Islam is progressively reintegrated as an element of morality, social justice, and generally public debates in Central Asia. I will stop here. Thank you.